So, if I could have your attention. When we got this talk, I have to admit, I didn't know Rust and Thunderbird had a connection. So this is pretty exciting and pretty cool. So we have Sean and Brendan are going to talk about how to exchange Rot for Rust.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hi. I'm Sean Burke. I am a senior software engineer at MZLA, which is the company that maintains Thunderbird. And this is my colleague, Brendan Abolivier, who is a software engineer at MZLA as well. So we're here to talk about how to exchange Rot for Rust. So our colleague, Ike Doherty, couldn't join us, but I feel I need to shout him out because we would not be giving this presentation without him. And I also have to applaud his pun in the title because the project that forms the basis for this talk is Microsoft Exchange support in Thunderbird. So we're working on adding support for the Exchange Web Services protocol. This is the first Rust component written specifically for Thunderbird. Our code is based on Firefox, and so there's Rust there, but nothing specific for Thunderbird. And it's also the first mail protocol to be added to Thunderbird in Thunderbird's lifetime, which is a slightly strange statement, but I will explain that a little bit. Here, when we started this project, nobody actually knew how to add a new protocol to Thunderbird. And that gets into the Rot part of the title a little bit. So first off, a little bit of history of Thunderbird. Thunderbird grew out of Netscape Communicator originally, as did Firefox. So a lot of the code in Thunderbird predates Thunderbird itself. And the 0.1 release was July 2003, so this is a fairly old code base already. Starting around 2012, Mozilla started to hand over Thunderbird to the community because it was felt that Thunderbird wasn't self-sustaining under the Mozilla umbrella. And that situation persisted until around 2017 when Thunderbird rejoined the Mozilla Foundation. And so what does that actually mean for Thunderbird? We had a pretty big gap in paid maintainership, which results in, a community can only do so much. Thunderbird is a very large project. There's a lot of work to do just keeping up with building, making sure that it's following Firefox's changes since we're based on Firefox. And that gap meant there was a lot of time where you can't expect a community to have a holistic view of the architecture of a huge project like Thunderbird. You can only ask so much time from them. And so changes were made without a view to how this would affect the architecture, how the architecture played into things. There was also a loss of institutional knowledge because the people who'd been employed to work on Thunderbird were no longer, and there was nobody there to take over for them. In a lot of places in Thunderbird, there hasn't really been any kind of architectural maintenance in over 20 years. And that also means that large portions of the code base are written in C++. C++ has changed quite a bit over the years, and Thunderbird has not kept up. So this is a pretty significant challenge, but also presents us with a pretty significant opportunity. That opportunity is Rust. So we'll talk a little bit about why we decided to use Rust. This is a room full of people interested in Rust. I'm sure most of you are pretty aware of the major benefits. We're a large application maintained by a small team, and we take input from anybody who sends somebody an email, and so memory safety is pretty critical. We do not want security bugs letting anybody have access to somebody's computer. Performance is also pretty big. We use a lot of JavaScript in our code, but for low-level stuff, JavaScript is going to have some performance issues. And then, you know, the modularity of Rust, having that built in, gives us access to a pretty large ecosystem. There are a lot of people doing mail-related stuff in Rust, and we can benefit from that. The next reason is that, I mean, we are based on Firefox code, and Firefox already has Rust in it, so the build system is set up to integrate with Cargo. CI, we share CI infrastructure, and so that already has provision for Rust. And then also Firefox has something called XPCOM, which is kind of a framework for communicating between the different languages that Firefox uses, and there's Rust support in that already. And then Rust also kind of, introducing a new language gives us permission to rethink some of the aging ideas in Thunderbird. It allows us to kind of ignore some of the more delicate code paths that have been around and changed ad hoc, special case throughout the code, where changing things is a little bit scary. You don't know what you're going to break. And also, I mentioned the loss of institutional knowledge. We need to rebuild that, which means a lot of documentation. And personally, I love the documentation tooling that Rust provides us. And I think that that helps a lot in moving forward. But as with any project like this, it's not just, okay, we're going to use Rust. Cool, we're done. We're good to go. We had some problems getting started. Part of that is just we have a large existing code base, which means we have existing patterns, a lot of idiosyncratic async stuff going on that doesn't integrate nicely with idiomatic Rust. Lots of features and capabilities already in the Firefox and Thunderbird code base, which don't have any sort of Rust binding, or sometimes some kind of painful Rust bindings. So I mentioned XPCOM as a benefit, but it also became a little bit of a drawback, particularly in terms of developer experience. Over the years, Firefox has excised a lot of the XPCOM interfaces just because it can be a little bulky, a little bit painful to use them sometimes, even in C++ and JavaScript. But that work never happened in Thunderbird. We have a lot more uses and huge uses of XPCOM than Firefox. And so what works well for them in terms of developer experience doesn't work for us. It's really painful for us to use XPCOM at this point. And I also mentioned the build system as a positive, but in kind of a big way, that became a drawback for us, because in order to deal with the fact that Firefox has a C++ entry point, no single point of entry for Rust, there's kind of a hack put in place to build a single workspace and shove that into the Firefox code. But that hack, you know, we're built as a subtree of Firefox rather than having Firefox as a subtree of our code, which is a little bit unusual. Cargo doesn't like it when you try to have a workspace inside of a workspace. We're not in the same repository as Firefox, And so we can't change their cargo lock. We can't change their dependencies. We kind of solved this by basically stealing all of their dependency tree and merging it with our own, building from within our code and using a script to keep that up to date and hope things don't break. So far, so good. But with that, here, I'm going to pass it off to Brendan, because...
And so now we have Rust. We can use Rust in Thunderbird. We can build Rust in Thunderbird. We can run some Rust code in Thunderbird, thanks to that work to integrate it into the build system. What do we do with it now? It is good to answer that question. It's good to kind of think back to where we're coming from, what we're trying to achieve with that, and our end goal with this work is to be able to support Microsoft Exchange in Thunderbird. We want to support more specifically something called EWS, which stands for Exchange Web Services. That's Microsoft's proprietary protocol for interacting with Exchange. And that protocol is based on XML over HTTP. SERP XML to be more precise. And that means that we're missing a few key code infrastructure in order to make this a possibility. First, we want to be able to send HTTP traffic, and preferably we want to send it through something called Necco. Necco is the networking component of Thunderbird. And you know, we already have a well-functioning networking stack. It would be a bit sad to completely bypass it. So we want to be able to communicate, to interact with Necco, and to do it in a way that is familiar and easy to use for Rust developers. And once we have the capability to send those requests, we also want to be able to fill them with the content that we need, in this case XML. And so we need to figure out how to serialize and deserialize XML in a way that scales to a lot of data structures. To give an example of scale, EWS specifies about 100 different operations and about 1,700 different data structures. So let's start at the bottom of the stack, which is sending HTTP requests. And because we want to interact with a different component with a specific component within Thunderbird, we want to use XPCOM, which Sean mentioned. That's the acronym stands for the cross-platform component object model, and its job is basically to allow inter-component interaction by defining some platform-neutral interfaces, and that way we can cross the language boundary, which is good for us because we want to write Rust code to interact with Necco, which is in C++. So let's use that, except using XPCOM with Rust directly doesn't look very Rust-like. It's mostly designed around C++ APIs, and so it doesn't have a lot of the features that we can find in Rust. And it means that there's a lot of boilerplate. This is the code to just send a single GET request and print the result in the standard output. So we need to define a bunch of callbacks. We need to define a bunch of different objects, and because we're crossing a language boundary, we, at the very bottom, we need to wrap all that into to wrap the actual call into an unsafe block. So None of that is very ideal, and we obviously don't want any